Okay, so picture this. You're slogging through law school, right? And you come across this scenario that feels super relatable. Maybe it's like a case study, or you overhear some upperclassmen talking, you know,
Yeah, I've been there.
and it involves like this huge verbal promise. Like, we're talking a serious chunk of change, you know, $250,000, something that could totally change your life. And it's made in this like really uncertain business environment. Like, things are shaky, you know?
I can see it.
So then this employee, they're like, all right, I'm going to put my faith in this promise. They dedicate years of work to this company. And then the company finally makes it big. They're successful. And the promise just vanishes. Poof, gone.
That's tough.
So the question we're diving into today is, can that verbal promise be legally enforced even without a written contract?
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of legal puzzle we'd love to untangle here.
Great.
And it's exactly what we're focusing on in this deep dive.
Right.
We're going to be looking at the case of Skiba v. Cash.
Okay.
We've got some really great resources for this one.
Awesome.
We've got the podcast guidance to kind of frame our legal analysis.
Perfect.
A really detailed case brief that lays out all the key facts.
Nice.
And then a standard legal brief that presents those core legal arguments.
All right. So what's the mission here? What are we trying to really understand?
So our mission today is to really get a grasp on this crucial legal concept called promissory estoppel.
Okay.
Think of it as like a legal safety net.
Okay.
It's the idea that even without a formal contract, a promise can still be binding
Right.
if someone relies on it and they end up worse off because that promise wasn't kept.
I see, I see. So it's about fairness in a way.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
This case delves into situations where a court might actually go beyond just awarding money and order the person who made the promise to actually fulfill it.
Wow. So they have to actually do what they said they would do.
Exactly. It's called specific performance.
Specific performance. I like it. Okay. So to understand this case better,
Okay.
we need to rewind a bit back to 1993.
Okay, back in the day.
Back in the day, MW Cash Co. was going through some rough times financially.
Yeah, businesses go through ups and downs.
Exactly. So meanwhile, William Skeba, this longtime employee who had worked his way up to vice president of sales,
Wow, Vice President.
he gets a job offer from another company.
Okay, so he's got options.
He's got options. And this is really where our story begins, because this sets the stage for the promise that becomes the center of this whole legal battle.
I see, I see.
So Jeffrey Cash, one of the owners at MW Cash Co.,
Yeah.
he obviously wants to keep Skeba around.
Of course he's a valuable asset.
Right. So he makes this crucial oral promise to Skeba. He basically says, look, stay with us. We'll get through this. And if the company's ever sold, or if you're ever terminated, or if you decide to retire, you'll get $250,000.
Wow, that's a big promise.
It is a big promise, and it was definitely meant to convince Skeba to turn down that other job offer and
Yeah,
stick with the company.
makes sense.
So why is Skeba's situation more than just a broken promise?
Right.
Because he acted on that promise, he took a concrete start.
He did something based on that promise.
He did, and that's what makes it so significant.
Yeah, what did he do?
Well, so he turned down the other job offer,
He did.
right? And he kept working at MW Cash Co. for the next 6 years.
6 years, wow.
6 years, including those really tough initial years when the company was struggling,
Right.
and this period of loyalty, this hard work, especially when the company was so vulnerable,
Yeah.
this really forms the heart of Steba's argument that he relied on that promise.
It makes sense. Yeah, he put his money where his mouth was, so to speak.
Exactly. And it's not like he just tucked that conversation away and forgot about it.
Right.
The case details actually show that Skeba tried several times to get this agreement in writing.
Oh, wow. So he was trying to formalize
He
it?
was trying to formalize it. So think about that. For years, he's trying to get that documentation.
And it never happened.
And it never happened. And this really emphasizes how much he was relying on this promise.
Yeah, it wasn't just like a casual, oh, yeah, sure, I'll stay.
No, it was a serious commitment on his part.
Right.
Okay, so now let's fast forward to 1999.
Okay.
Against all odds, MW Cash Co. turns things around.
Wow.
And they end up selling for a cool $5.1 million.
$5.1 million. That's a huge turnaround.
Huge turnaround. So you'd think this is the moment, you know, Skeba gets his 250,000.
Right. He held up his end of the bargain.
Exactly. He stayed. The company was sold. That was one of the conditions.
Yeah.
But instead of getting the money, Cash refuses to pay.
Oh, no, come on.
He even denies that the agreement ever existed.
Seriously.
Seriously. And to add insult to injury, he offers Skeba a standard severance agreement that had apparently been drafted back in 1993.
Oh, wow. So, like, they were already thinking about letting people go back then.
Yeah, it's like a slap in the face, you know, after all that loyalty. So feeling understandably betrayed after years of dedication based on this promise, Skeba takes legal action.
Okay, so he sues them.
He argues breach of contract, saying that oral agreement was a real contract.
Right.
And he also claims promissory estoppel.
Okay.
Saying even if it wasn't a formal contract, the promise should be enforced because he relied on it and it hurt him.
Okay, so he's got two arguments going.
Exactly. So how does the legal system deal with enforcing promises like this?
Right, that's the big question.
And that's where this case and its journey through the courts gets really interesting.
Yeah, tell me more.
Okay, so at the trial level, the jury decides there's no formal contract.
Okay.
But they do find in favor of Skeba on the promissory estoppel claim.
Oh, interesting. So they say there wasn't a contract, but there was a promise that he relied on.
Exactly. They acknowledge that Cash made a promise, Skeba reasonably relied on it, and they award him the full $250,000.
So Skeba wins round one.
It seems like it, right?
But there's
a twist. The trial court steps in and overturns the award.
Why?
Their reasoning is that Skeba didn't prove his damages well enough.
Okay, so how do you prove damages in a case like this?
Well, they argued that he needed to show what he would have earned at that other job he turned down back in 1993.
Oh, so they're saying he needs to prove what he lost out on.
Exactly. They wanted a specific number, a quantifiable loss.
Interesting. So this highlights a tension in the legal reasoning.
Right.
Between focusing on like concrete measurable damages and this broader idea of fairness, of preventing injustice when a promise is broken.
Exactly.
So what happens next?
Skeba appeals, of course.
He's not giving up.
No way. And the appeals court overturns the trial court's ruling.
Okay.
And reinstates the jury's original award.
So Skeba wins again.
He wins. This reversal really hinges on understanding how promissory estoppel works and how it's different from a regular breach of contract claim.
Right. In a breach of contract case, usually there's this idea of consideration.
Right.
Like something of value is exchanged between both sides.
Yeah, like a trade. You give me this, I give you that.
Exactly. But promissory estoppel, it's different.
Okay.
The focus shifts from that formal exchange to the act of relying on a promise.
I see.
So in Skeba's case, the fact that he turned down that other job and stayed at that struggling company for 6 years,
yeah,
that act of reliance essentially replaces that need for a formal exchange of consideration.
So his actions become like a substitute for that formal agreement?
Precisely. It's a way the law recognizes that sometimes a handshake and reliance can be just as important as a signed document.
I like that. Okay, so let's break down this difference a bit more.
Yeah.
In a standard breach of contract case, you need that consideration, something of value exchanged between the parties.
Right.
But with promissory estoppel, it's not about that formal exchange.
Right.
It's about whether someone actually relied on the promise and acted on it.
Exactly.
And in Skeba's case, he turned down that job offer.
He did.
He stayed with that company when it wasn't clear they'd even survive. And that to his detriment.
Yeah, it was a risk.
It was a risk, and this becomes like a replacement for that formal consideration.
So the court's basically saying, we get it, you didn't have a contract, but you relied on this promise and it hurt you.
Exactly.
And that's not fair.
And that's where fairness comes in. So courts often use this framework from a case called Hossman v. Red Owl.
Okay, I've heard of that one.
To analyze these promissory estoppel claims.
Yeah, it was a case about franchise negotiations that went wrong, right?
That's the one. So there's a three-part test.
Okay, what's the test?
First was the promise, something that the person making the promise, the promissor, in this case, Cash, should have reasonably expected would cause the other person to rely on it.
Okay, so was it reasonable for Skeba to rely on Cash's promise?
Exactly. Second, did the promise actually lead to real and substantial reliance?
Like, did Skeba actually do something because of that promise?
Yes. And third is enforcing the promise necessary to prevent an injustice.
So is it unfair to let Cash off the hook after Skeba rely on his word?
Exactly.
So that third element, preventing injustice.
Right.
Courts often look at a bunch of factors, and there's this case U.S. Oil Co.
Okay.
That provides a helpful framework for analyzing to those factors.
Okay, tell me about those factors.
So some of the things they consider are there other legal remedies available?
Okay.
Are those other remedies enough to make things right?
I see.
How clear and substantial was the reliance?
Okay.
Does the reliance actually support the fact that the promise was made?
Right.
Was it reasonable for the person to rely on the promise?
Uh-huh.
And could the person making the promise have foreseen that their promise would lead to that reliance?
So it's like a whole web of considerations.
It is. It's not just black and white.
Right. And all of these factors play a part in whether the court decides to enforce a promise under promissory estoppel.
Okay. And how did that play out in Skeba v. Cash?
Well, the appeals court in Skeba v. Cash.
Mm-hmm.
They really emphasized that Skeba's decision to turn down that job offer and stay with a financially shaky company for 6 years.
6 years.
6 years. That was a huge deal. They said that was clearly significant reliance.
It's hard to argue with that.
Right. And they highlighted how Cash benefited from Skeba sticking around.
Right.
From his work, his loyalty during those difficult years for the company.
Yeah, Cash definitely got something out of that.
And a crucial point they made was that the $250,000, it wasn't some vague promise.
Right.
It was a specific amount tied to specific events, the sale of the company termination retirement.
So it wasn't just like, oh, maybe you'll get a bonus someday.
No, it was a concrete commitment.
Right.
And here's where the appeals court gets really clear.
Okay.
They say straight up the trial court was wrong to focus on what Skeba might have earned at that other job.
Okay.
They even say, quote, Skeba's loss has nothing to do with what he might have earned elsewhere, end quote.
Wow. That's pretty direct.
It's a powerful statement, and it really shifts the focus.
Unfo.
The loss wasn't about what Skeba might have had in 1993.
Right.
It was about breaking that specific promise that he relied on for 6 years.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And because of that specific promise and the fact that Skeba relied on it for so long,
right.
The appeals court says the right remedy isn't just some calculation of money based on speculation.
Okay.
They decide that specific performance is what's needed.
Specific performance.
That means they actually order Cash to pay Skeba the $250,000.
Wow. So they're forcing him to keep his promise.
They are. And it's important to understand that specific performance, it's not the usual remedy in most employment law cases. If an employer breaks a contract, the usual solution is money.
Right.
But here, the court felt like this promise was different.
It was unique.
It was a specific amount tied to specific events after years of reliance.
Yeah.
So they felt this more direct enforcement was justified.
So they're making an exception.
They are. And as the court put it, quote, the decree should be molded to prevent injustice, end quote.
So it's all about fairness in the end.
Exactly. So for all you law students out there listening, what are the key takeaways from Skeba v. Cash?
Right. What should we be paying attention to?
First, it's a reminder that even though getting things in writing is always best,
always,
oral promises can still have legal weight, especially under this idea of promissory estoppel.
So you can't just rely on a handshake, but sometimes it does matter.
Exactly. And you need to really understand how courts decide if not enforcing a promise would be unjust.
Right. So what makes a situation unjust in the eyes of the law?
Exactly. And when you're analyzing or arguing these promissory estoppel cases, think outside the box when it comes to remedies.
Okay.
Don't just jump to calculating money damages.
Right.
Think about whether the specific promise and the way the person relied on it might call for a more direct solution, like specific performance.
Yeah, like in Skeba v. Cash.
Exactly.
That's a good reminder.
This case shows us that courts are willing to tailor those remedies to fit the situation and make sure things are fair.
So it's not one size fits all.
Not at all. It's a really interesting case that shows the balance between contract law and the idea of fairness.
Right.
It reminds us that the law isn't just about rules.
That's about justice, too.
Exactly. And here's something to think about.
Okay, I like a good brain teaser.
What if Skeba had left MW Cash Co. after only 1 year?
Oh, interesting.
Would the outcome have been different?
That's a good question.
Think about how the length of time he relied on the promise.
Right.
And all those factors that courts use to figure out if there's an injustice.
Yeah, how would that have changed things?
It's something to ponder.
It is.
We encourage everyone to think about this balance between contracts and fairness.
It's a key concept in law.
It is. And keep exploring how promissory estoppel works in different situations.
Yeah. And how courts decide on the right remedies.
It's a fascinating area of law.
It really is, with lots to discover.
Lots to discover.